You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. It is your host, Lyle Swithenbank, sportsethos.com presentation. You can find us on Apple, where else are we? Spotify, Audible, all those different places where you can download it. Now, it is the off season, but that just means you get to talk with more fantastic people. I'm joined today by Andrew Smith. Andrew, how are you going, mate? Thanks for joining us all the way from Japan.
Appreciate you having me, Lyle.
Oh, it's great to have you. And yeah, we're talking off air, only an hour difference in our time zones, which is refreshing. I'm much more alert, I suppose, than probably some of the guests get to experience. How's things on your end?
Things are good. You know, in Japan right now, it's Golden Week. So I'm just enjoying my few days off, relaxing. That's why I was able to actually do the videos. Normally, with my work schedule, I have so much work to do. But Golden Week, got a nice, like, 4, 5, 6, 7 day little bit of time off, you know, nothing else to do, so might as well do some hype.
Well, I tell you what, you had us hyped with those videos. I mean, I watched the first one that came out, and I was a bit emotionally charged after game 6, and it came out and it hit me. My girlfriend was looking at me and I'm sitting there going, nah, that's just the dust. We need to get the dust in here. It's making my eyes well up, but it was fantastic. What inspired you to do it, I suppose, besides having a bit of a spare time?
The first thing, with the first video, the season being over, it was really the Pelicans fans. You know, obviously we have the whole thing with the Pel 12 going on. And usually with the end of the season, that's a lot of times when I'm the most upset with the fan base, especially when I was in New Orleans as credential media for, you know, I was credentialed for a really long time, you know, going to every game in the city. And usually at the end of the season, I'm actually quite upset with the fans because that's when the worst takes happen. That's when the worst personalities come out. You know, I'll never forget that when we lost to Golden State, well, this wasn't when the series ended, but when we lost a game to Golden State and then we went back to Oakland and they beat us, fans were so pissed. Fans were so pissed when we just took the arguably the greatest team at the time with the best record of all time to a down to the wire game and Steph Curry hitting that crazy three on Quincy Pondexter. And they're chanting, you know, F Monty Williams, fire the team. That was the angriest I've ever been with the team. And usually at the end of the seasons, it's always something like that. Like, oh, you know, last year, a lot of people always tweet out they gave up on Jax. It was like, oh, get rid of Jax. He doesn't have da-da-da-da-da. You know, oh, David Griffin can't do this and that. And even I was kind of on with that. And usually the personalities get so bad. And this year, you know, taking the Suns to 6 games, the fan, even though we lost, the fans upbeat as I've ever seen them, you know. Great attitudes, all positivity as far as, you know, the outlook of the team and everything. So I was like, yo, like like I said in the video, the season is over, but the fans they're ready. You know, the team seems ready. The players seem ready. You know, everyone still has this big energy, kind of like we're still in it. it doesn't, if the season is over, but it doesn't feel like it at all.
It felt like we were just getting started. And I think that was a big difference, particularly in the last few years. Obviously, the world's changed in the last couple of years as well, and live sports with it. And, you know, with the Pelicans, we had Alvin Gentry and then Stan Van Gundy, and the roster was turning and turning and turning, and you know, the national media was going rampant because perhaps on-court success wasn't what they anticipated.
Had these really weird stories with David Griffin playing pianos.
Yeah, you know, and all these narratives kept coming out, and it made it difficult. So this season, it felt like, even though we started the 1-12, it almost started like it was the same, and everyone was out. No, we sacked this guy. Let's get rid of him. Trade them. They're all no good. And then it started turning. And we, as we watched the games, we saw these guys continue to buy in. Do you think that helped solidify this fan base? Is that we were in the mud, and all
absolutely.
Of a sudden,
like there's anything that players will tell you, that coaches will tell you, that if you hear it, you know, if you watch the New Orleans broadcast, you'll hear Antonio Daniels say it all the time. If you love the city will love you back. And I know, you know, Jerry Jack is on the Phoenix Suns coaching staff, and I believe he even said this. Chris Paul said it too in one of the interviews. If you just play hard in New Orleans, they're gonna love you. You could not even be that good, but he plays hard, and they'll start fighting for you. You know, so the fact that they came back from that 1-11 start, that 3-16, and they fought all the way back to actually make the playoffs. You know, first the play-in and then knocking out Los Angeles, who had all the hype in the world, you know, everyone counted them out. And now you see a lot of national media are jumping onto the wagon. And they just fought backs from so much adversity. They fought back from everything, from injury to management to new coaches. They fought back from a bad record, from a top heavy schedule in the beginning. It's just a recipe for failure, and they overcame. Like, I don't see how the fans wouldn't jump back behind this team after that.
Honestly, and I think it was hard because from the outside looking in, if you weren't watching the games, you'd think, oh, this is just another bottom team, like bottom dweller, that, you know, they're not playing any well, they don't have any you know, cohesion. But if you watched them, even the games we lost, we were in. And one thing I think, especially, I mean, since I've been covering the Pelicans myself and, you know, getting to know people in New Orleans, there's one thing about them is that they will never give up. They will always overcome adversity. And that this team is just seems to be synonymous with this. It was hit with every single thing, like you said, and they overcame it. And it's easy to cheer for an underdog, I think, and especially a team that has a historically bad start to then make the playoffs. It was fantastic.
Yeah, they just embodied the city completely, like from everything bad going on to everyone turning their back on them and just blocking out all the noise and just being themselves and locking in and working. One funny thing for me is when fans of other teams try to troll, like, oh, hi, you didn't that, like they'll try to, oh, you lost, like Suns fans have been trying to troll and like, yo, we're happy. Like, we're really, really, really happy with this season. Like, nobody is upset, you know? Like, sure, it would have been nice going into the second round, but, you know, even if they would have just made the play-in game and lost the play-in game to the Clippers, yo, I'm still like, yo, we overachieved from this horrible start. To go this far and take the number one team, the number one record in the NBA, to six games when it should have been seven with how game five, I believe it was, went. It could have easily been seven games, and it could have easily been an upset, you know, barring some different calls and Chris Paul not having to have a legendary game, you know, and them barely squeaking by. We're just ecstatic about it. You can't troll a fan base who's this happy about their team. You can't say, oh, well, Zion wants to go. Zion's saying he's ecstatic. He can't sign a contract soon enough. You can't troll about that. Oh, but the future looks great. We have a young core who acts like veterans, like Herb Jones acts like he's been playing in this league for 15 years. You know, Trey Murphy's on the come up every single game. Jax is actually getting his footing together. Like, he's not a rookie, but Jax is getting his footing established. Jose has become a huge fan favorite and the best actual point guard on the team out of nowhere. So, like, you can't troll us. There's nothing for us to be upset about.
Yeah, I think we're just really optimistic as to what's happening. And they can't say, oh, you're not going anywhere with this, because, I mean, the core's what, an average age of about 21, 22. You're also adding an all-NBA talent who's also 21 back to the team next year. Plus, you've got...
That's the X factor. That is going to be crazy. And it's crazy that we actually got matched up against the Suns, because I feel a really big, strong correlation between how they came up and how we're going. You know, if you remember about, 4 years ago or so, everyone said, yo, Devin Booker's mad. Devin Booker should demand a trade. Like, media was pushing for Devin Booker hard to get out. And I heard Devin Booker was pretty upset. DeAndre Ayton, Monty Williams benched DeAndre Ayton so much about 4 years ago. DeAndre couldn't get off the bench. Who was ahead of him? I think it was Aaron Baines. Yeah. Aaron Baines was ahead starting, and Ayton couldn't get off the bench some games, you know, and they were upset. And then, they add a veteran. They add a veteran guard. They get Chris Paul. Things are looking good. We add CJ McCollum. Things are looking nice. You know, their star gets a little happier. Our star Zion and B.I. seems a bit happier, because I don't want to undersell what B.I.'s been doing, because he has been the team. Like, he's become an actual leader. So, like, B.I. is looking really happy. You know, the foundation is actually getting set. You know, Jonas is looking really good. And then very, very quickly, the Suns went from bottom team to number one in the West like that. I could see the exact same thing happening with the Pelicans coming next year or in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, well, the correlations between us and the Suns are pretty similar. You know, they had that bubble where they went 8-0, and it wasn't even their own doing to be able to get in. You know, they couldn't. It was other teams winning meant that they didn't make playoffs. They then come back and, after 13 straight years of missing the playoffs, jump straight in and go to the finals. I mean, it's a pretty big turnaround. And I mean, I can see our team having that with that young core, with the great stars, adding the veteran leadership and, another lottery pick this year, thanks to the Lakers. The future's bright, plus all the picks into the future that we've managed to swing as well from Jrue Holiday trade, and also the Anthony Davis one still lingering around.
I don't see a team with a brighter future. Like, I don't think that's a team with a brighter future in the NBA, you know, especially with how well you can say what you want about David Griffin's people management skills, but that man could draft.
Like, <There you want.
laughs> this whole, you know, this whole front office, like, they can draft. Something funny about the season is ending video. If you notice, Trey Murphy wasn't in the original video, because I only had, you know, for Twitter limits is about 2 minutes, 20 seconds or so. You can't get can't do very long videos. And in the first video, I was hoping nobody would notice, but then his mom messaged, she was like, in part two, put Trey, and she put all the hearts, but that made me nervous. I'm like, I know a lot of players. I could deal with trainers coming at me. I could deal with coaches. I can deal with the players. I can deal with staff coming at me. But moms, that's scary.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, so was she pretty happy with the second one then?
I already had something written for Trey to be in it, but then I saw my time limit, so I that was one that didn't make it. So I was like, all right, instead, I'm just going to make him his own video. That's why that was the next one that popped up. So I'm glad his mom seemed happy about it. I'm sure he's happy about it too.
Oh, the Trey Murphy video as well. I mean, for the second one in the series, I'm a big Trey Murphy fan. I mean, seeing him really take strides towards the end of the season. I mean, he came in with a splash in summer league. Looked like he was going to be the best pick in the whole draft. After that, obviously, confidence issues and the speed of the game caught up with him, and he had to adjust and overcome a few different things. But again, a great young fella who looks like he's going to be a core piece in this team. And David Griffin said was untouchable in trade talks. What did you find of the rookies and particular Trey in this season? I thought pretty good.
This rookie class that we got here it's insane. These are the most mature rookies I've seen in New Orleans, especially for a group of them. You know, Trey for one, he just needed time to grow, I think. You know, he just actually needed some time on the floor. I don't even think really a rookie wall hit him because he didn't get enough time early on to even hit a wall. You know, he had to go down to the G League to just get some reps while we were playing, you know, no offense to Garrett Temple, but we were playing Garrett Temple ahead of him. And we were still 1-12, 3-16 area. Like, yo, if we're going to be bad, might as well play the young guys. And eventually we saw once he came back from the G League, he kind of fit in like that. He, of course, he made some rookie mistakes here and there, but that's part of growth. Overall, you can see where his game is going, and he is not just a shooter like some people would say. That man is versatile, especially on the offensive end. And you've seen he had a lot of crazy dunks this year. Like, he is an athlete. He is a straight-up athlete who can shoot. He's not a shooter who has a little bit going on. Like, he is a well-rounded offensive player. I just think catching up to the like you say, the speed of the game, just getting a good feel of the NBA in general and a good feel of the guys that he's around is just going to make him better and better and better. And I'd be shocked if, you know, we don't see a big jump in his comfort level come next season or even come summer league. And as far as the other rookies, you know, there's not much to say about Herb other than he's like a legit vet, man. The dude reminds me of like Trevor Ariza already, like when we had him. He's just a legit, well-mannered vet. He's not out there crazy. He does the dirty work. He does everything you want him to. And Jose, yo, I talked to Coach Ryan for the Birmingham squadron before we got Jose. Well, when we got Jose, and I was like, does anybody surprise you on this team that you've been coaching? I was expecting him to say something about Zylin or about Gary Clark or about some, you know, anybody else on the squadron team. He was like, yo, this Jose, he's for real. And I was like, all right, cool. Maybe he'll be a okay rotational piece. Nah, Jose exceeded everything I ever thought that can be presented for him. I thought when he was like, Jose is for real, I was like, okay, maybe he can just barely fit into the NBA. No, Jose became an absolute nuisance. Like, I know if he wasn't for New Orleans, he'd annoy the hell out of everyone when we go up against him. Like, he does not get off you. This man just sticks on you. And it's not a dirty way, you know? It's not a dirty way like he's flailing around or doing anything against the rules. He just plays hard. He's just going to go at you 94 feet and stick on you and never give you any comfort. You can never relax around him. Jose's been my favorite surprise of this season. He's just such someone. Someone made a good comparison. One of our other fans in South America, he says Jose reminds him of a soccer player, kind of how that the energy that soccer brings. You know, this big pump. He's so hyped when he gets these 8-second violations, when he gets these steals. Every play he makes, he's just this little ball of energy that you can't get off of you, and I love it.
He's great, honestly, and to see an undrafted two-way rookie, you know, he to then have chance around the whole, like, soccer-like chance, I suppose, around the stadium even. I mean, wow.
How did everyone pass on him? It is astonishing.
It's not like his resume was bad. Like, he was defensive player of the year, a 4-year guy. But I mean, he's all-time steals leader, I think, at Georgia Tech. He was just like unbelievable resume.
While I was doing the Trey Murphy video, and while I was speaking with Trey's mom, she brought up the fact that they played against each other a couple times.
Oh, right.
I'm not a big college watcher. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely went back to go and try and find the Georgia Tech and Virginia games because they went against each other a few times too, and for them to become teammates, you know, on the same squad now, it's no joke. Yeah, I have no clue though how they pass up. I'm guessing it's just simply size. That's the only thing. They go like, oh, he's small.
Yeah, well, I mean, he plays a lot bigger than he is. I was watching the game 6 again the other night. Because I'd watched the national broadcast, had to go back and watch my guys AD and Joel to finish us off. And Jose was grabbing rebounds above the rim. Like, he has a bit of spring for a short fella. I mean, he's short, he's still 6'1".
you see that he never stops moving.
Yeah.
I really have to go onto the NBA stats website and see, you know, they track distance and speed for players. I'm really curious about Jose's because that man doesn't seem to stop moving. That was my only concern when, you know, as everybody on Twitter knows, and I'm going to bring it up, like, oh, I was big supporting the Devontae Graham. That's kind of that's kind of went down. Jose is taking that man's spots completely from underneath him. But one thing I was concerned about with more minutes with Jose is, does he have the energy to keep up that level of speed? And he never stopped. Like, we've been playing him big minutes and he just keep running nonstop, man.
94 feet, it, but I love every it. Position. He loves picking up full court. He left to right, he rotates all the time. And like, even the offensive rebounds, he reads the ball so well off the rim as well to be able to then, you know, get second possessions, work hard, you know, the 8 seconds.
Of course, hiding on the inbound. I love that play. I love when he's hiding in the inbound.
Yeah, well, I mean, the signature move and to pull it off in the playoffs after on Chris Paul, no less.
If you can get it on Chris Paul, you can get it on anybody.
100%. I mean, well, one of them he tried and Chris Paul waved him up. Come on, young fellow, you got to get up here and defend me. And then get it later on in a game that was critical for our success. It was something else. But Zion Williamson, let's get to him. It's been obviously a difficult year for him and a lot of outside noise, like a lot. And I mean, everyone's been guilty of it at different points. I think the narrative and storylines around him have evolved as we've got more information throughout the year. Still 21 years old, about to sign, can't wait to sign $185 odd million dollar contract, which is nothing to poke a stick at. What do you think? You think we got full buy-in? You think he's coming back next year and he's going to dominate?
I think he's absolutely coming back next year. I think you would have to be insane not to be ecstatic to come back to what this team has without to show what they can even do without you. When this team is built around you, for them to go this far and to come back for what they came from, and you can see how everyone knows their role. That's one really key part. And before I even get more into Zion, shout out to Willie Green for actually establishing this culture. You know, we have some problems with Willie as far as minutes and rotation and even some like X and O's type stuff, but that's here and there. The important part of head coaching is managing players and making sure they know what their job is, what's your role, managing egos, and he is perfect at that. Getting the most out of players, he is perfect at that, especially with young players. Like, getting the most out of veterans is easy. They know what they're supposed to do. But you got a group full of young dudes. Like, everybody's just barely old enough to drink in America now, man. Like, like, you got a bunch of young dudes out there. So shout out to Willie. For Zion to see that this team is able to go this far without missing an all NBA, you know, the best young prospect, in my opinion, kind of level player, and he's going to come back in the best shape he's been in since college. Yo, where else you going to go? Like, I know the media saying, oh, but New York trash. like what's a better situation for you than where you're at? You know, so I think he's going to, I do think it's genuine when he says, oh, I can't wait to sign. Because what's a better situation for you to go to? Now, early on in the season, I think the confusion was just the quietness from his side, from the team side, from everywhere. So when you're quiet, people have nothing else to do but speculate and make up their own ideas. Like, oh, what does this mean? You know, when we get one random post or he's not around the team, what does it mean when no one's telling him anything? I think it was just a really bad communication between the Pelicans, between Zion and however to get that information, between front office to get that information to the fans and to media. You know, it was just that was just bad communication. But as far as where he's at now, I absolutely buy that he's willing and ready to showcase where he's at with the Pelicans. Like, I'm sure he wanted to play in the playoffs. I'm sure he wanted to, you know. I knew that the Pelicans weren't going to let him play because that's – you know, you don't want to risk a great season this year and risk your future. You'd rather have, you know, 10 years of greatness than one good year in 2022, you know? So get them back 100% this year and dominate. And I would bet on it this year for the Pelicans with Zion.
Honestly, that's what I'm like. I'm chomping at the bit because all I see is, okay, so Jackson Hayes goes to the bench and you put Zion Williamson there. I don't know how you defend a team with
KV. Starting off, honestly, the starting lineup, I would run big. I would run CJ, BI, Herb, Zion, JV.
Yeah.
Just to start the year off. What are you going to do? What are teams going to do? Like, Zion actually has spacing. JV can shoot. You know, and it's even more consistent in the mid-range. Like, JV can help him with the dirty work. I think that tandem is going to be ridiculous. B.I.'s passing has improved tenfold from last time he played with Zion. Like, he can dump the ball off. He can drive and dump the ball off to Zion at any moment. He can make so much space for Zion. Zion was dominating with Steven Adams, you know, and us just clogged in with four people in the paint. And that couldn't stop. He still averaged 27 with that kind of space. And now he has more space and you have to one-on-one him. And don't forget, Zion himself is an excellent passer, an amazing passer. So go ahead. I got all this space and you want to come with a double for me and leave B.I. and leave CJ, you know, or leave a cut in Jax? Like, I have no clue what teams are going to do except cross their fingers.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, just hope everyone else misses, I guess. And the thing is, you know, last time he played, it was a bit easier because you could say, well, let's let the other guys beat us. And perhaps Brandon might have an off night, but otherwise it was Brandon and Zion, and they were the two you had to guard. Now you got CJ, you got JV, you got all these guys coming off the bench who can score as well.
And this is a different Brandon, though. This Brandon is different. Like,
he's different.
He's never been like this, you know, this kind of season that he's had. He wasn't this guy when Zion was playing. This is a brand new, like, leadership. He's evolved to a whole new person. You know, he wasn't this consistent. His defense has gotten so much better. B.I. is actually locking. When he locks in on defense, B.I. is good. Like, there's some standards that we're going to have to set for Zion when he comes back, because this is a whole different culture from last time when he was actively around the team. You know, like the amount of work and the amount of effort, especially on defense, I want to see how how Zion soaks that in with the difference in culture from Gentry and Stan Van Gundy to this new one that Willie Green and David Griffin were able to make.
Oh, I mean, you get Zion to buy in on defense and it's over. I don't know what you do, because you get past one of our 6'9" to 6'11" guards with 7-foot wingspan, and you then get met with a 6'6" bloke who can jump out the gym and a big body in JV. I'm excited on both ends, and it's going to be ridiculous. You touched on Brandon Ingram. This year, he took a step to genuine superstar. I think that playoffs was him. While we've seen it all year and these steps he's taken, he got a bit fitter over the season, got a bit stronger, took on a really big leadership role, identified himself and put his hand up to say, I am the leader of this team. This is my team, and stamped his name on it. And we went as he went this year. To then see him announce himself on the national stage in this playoffs, I think was massive for him to play as well as he did. I mean, I think he was still top five or top six in the first round of the playoffs in scoring and assists and rebounds. He was right up there in all of it.
He was dominant, man. He was straight up
dominant.
What
did you think of Brandon? He's great.
The first thing first with Brandon, the way that he bought into this city, you know, it would have been easy for him to not buy into the culture and just to be, you know, if you've ever talked with Brandon or you ask any media or if you watch his interviews, he's a very soft-spoken person. You know, he's a very chill, soft-spoken dude. This is why I say he's grown, at least from when I've been away from the team. His personality, he's gotten more expressive. You know, he's still not loud vocally, but he's joking around all the time with people. He's embraced this city. You know, he acts like a New Orleans kid now. The way that he's embraced the city is one of the most exciting things for me about him. As far as his play style, every area, I started the season off saying JV would probably be the best player on the team right now. And JV started off the season really good. You know, he went crazy from three. He was like the number one three-point percentage in the league. And then a few weeks later, Brandon Ingram just started getting better and better and better. That mid-range got really consistent. His defense started locking in. One thing I really had with Brandon Ingram was that he – with his length, I always thought he should be a good defender, but he'd always keep his hands down. Now them hands are up. You know, he's active. He's moving his feet. He's aggressive towards the rim like crazy. You want to 1v1 him, it's not going to happen. It's just a whole nother level, every single area, especially his ball handling and passing. His if you go back to any tape like 2 years ago or last time he played with Zion, the spacing was already bad on that team, and B.I.'s handle will be super wide. Yeah. It will be anytime he crossed it over, it'll be super, super wide, and he'll often lose the ball and turn it over. This time, that handle's a little tighter. Them passing's a little bit more accurate. There's not as many turnovers. Things are looking really nice with B.I., and then you add C.J. into the mix to take that pressure off him and point Zion, which you know is coming back.
Yeah.
Oof. Everybody's just going to get better from it, man.
It's getting exciting. Andrew, thank you so much for your time. Final thoughts on the Pels, and what do you got out there that's coming up that you can tell us about?
Oh, man. My final thoughts on the Pelicans is just look out for them, dude. They're going to be dominant. Support them. Like, really, support them. Even if they come off, one thing, I'm skeptical about it. I saw Stephen A. Smith talking about, you know, he believes in Pelicans and all these positive things, and Perkins over there, he's like, yeah, Pelicans. And I'm like, don't be like them where as soon as the Pelicans lose four or five games in a row, they're saying, oh, they need to trade them, move them. You know, they're going to revert right back as soon as things get hard. But the actual Pelicans fans out there, they know what it is. They know what the future is. You know, as soon as an injury happens and bad times happen, I'd be shocked if, like, those dudes that were calling. Like, we had the spaces with Perkins, and he's saying, like, it's not a basketball team. They should move, da-da-da-da-da. And now you want us to believe that y'all are, you know, all on the side. So don't be that kind of fan. Support these dudes through and through, you know? And anything for me coming up, I lost my voice after the Trey Murphy video. So now my voice is getting back and I'm writing my next few. I'll keep it I'm going to focus on players for now. So I'm planning on doing Jose, Herb, B.I., and Herb, Jose, B.I., and maybe another one I'll throw in there. But just going to do some player videos and a few more extra things for the offseason that I hope the fan base enjoys.
So good. Looking forward to that. Andrew, thank you so much for your time. It's been great chatting with you, and enjoy the rest of your Golden Week.
Thank you, Lyle. Take it easy, bro.
You too. Cheers.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So thank you very much to Andrew for joining us again on the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Great chat. And to think that he's only an hour difference in time from Perth to Japan, so it was nice to have a bit more of a sleep in my morning, which was nice. So, yeah, cheers, Andrew, and it was great chatting Pels with you. Guys, go and check out everything he's got over on Twitter.
We'll tag him in all the posts as we like to do with our guests, and see all the videos. And if you haven't seen the great videos and voiceovers that he's been doing, well, go and check it out, as well as being a credentialed media member for many, many years for the Pelicans and Hornets. If he's excited, well, you know, we all should be. So, before I wrap up, remember, there is no such thing as a fantasy off-season, only the pre-draft season. And here at Sports Ethos, the pre-draft season has already begun. Our expert analysts are churning out important lessons learned and draft analysis on incoming rookies so you can get a jump on your prep. And we'll have incredible free agency and summer league coverage as well. But only if you're part of our premium member team. Head to sportsethos.com now and click on the premium tab to grab a fantasy pass today. Seriously, cook yourself one extra lunch per month because it's only $5.99. We'll see you there. So, with that being said, as always, this is the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm your host, Lyle Swithenbank, hailing from Perth, Western Australia. You can follow us on Twitter at Ethos Pelicans, at Lyle Swithenbank. If you've got time, go and give us a 5-star rate and review and a comment, because it comes up and I can see it all. I've got some lovely ones recently, and I appreciate you all for enjoying what we're doing. We'll keep the chats going during the off season, and no doubt I'll be jumping on solo at different times as well. We'll keep them out pretty regular, and that way we'll give you something to listen to while we're watching the rest of the playoffs and into the off season, then summer league, and then we're back into it. So I'll leave it at that. Stay safe and bye for now.